You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
A very good evening and a very warm welcome to that podcast on Money Control, which is honestly the only thing you have to listen to all day. Spare us 15 minutes and we'll tell you what's happening in the world. And there are no Game of Thrones spoilers, so it's a win-win for all of us. Or is it? Someone dies, guys. I won't tell you who that is, but it's a big one. But the bigger story is, of course, who kills that someone. I may already have said too much. Don't hate me. Also, I saw Avengers over the weekend, and there's someone who dies there as well. That's a pretty big death as well. A lot of deaths. Which reminds me, it also happens to be Alfred Hitchcock's death anniversary. I did see Rebecca also over the weekend, the only film that he won an Oscar for, when he should have won for so many other films. But then again, that's the Oscars. They always get things wrong. Speaking of deaths, how can birth be far behind? Happy birthday to Jerry Seinfeld, one of my favorite comedians of all time, except he's gone a bit soft in the head of late. We'll ignore that and continue to enjoy reruns of Seinfeld as much as we can. Speaking of going soft in the head, Richard Nixon, on this very day, announced the release of the edited transcripts of the White House tape recordings related to the Watergate scandal, so that was a big deal back in 1974. A similar thing was expected in 2019 with relation to the Mueller report, but we haven't quite seen that happen yet. Is he Teflon Trump? Only time will tell. But what I will tell you today is all the things that happened in the world. Oh, and in the meanwhile, I hope you voted. All those film stars showing off their fingers hopefully inspired you to go and cast your own vote. Whomever it was for, we have never said take sides, just as long as you go and vote. With all that done, let's get back to the business of business. This is Stories of the Day. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Money Control.
Editors, pick of the day.
First, the headlines. Ball in Medanta's court following Manipal TPG's 5,800 crore rupee acquisition bid. Manipal and TPG entered into negotiations with heart surgeon Naresh Trehan and other investors in October 2018 to acquire their stake in Medanta. Manipal, of course, led by Ranjan Pai, was in race to buy Fortis Healthcare, as we know all too well on Money Control, but Malaysia's IHH Healthcare Berhad outbid the rivals to buy the troubled healthcare provider. Now, Ranjan Pai is believed to be aggressively pursuing Medanta, as the deal would help Manipal expand its footprint in North India. The Ministry of Corporate Affairs may ban management consultancy firm Deloitte for its alleged malpractice and ill conduct in ILNFS audit process under Section 140 of the Companies Act, according to a report. If the government does go through with it, this will be the second such case after Pricewaterhouse was debarred in the Satyam Computer Services scam. In 2018, Pricewaterhouse was banned from providing audit services to listed companies in India for 2 years in the Satyam fraud case. Will it be the same in the Deloitte case is something to be seen. News has emerged that Maruti Suzuki, India's largest car maker, may completely shift the production of its compact SUV Vitara Brezza to Toyota plants in Karnataka. If the company does go ahead, this will be the first of its kind move, as Maruti has not outsourced the production outside the Suzuki fold until now. In March, the board of Maruti Suzuki cleared proposals to partly source Brezza sports utility vehicle from Toyota Kirloskar Motors as part of the broader non-equity-based agreement signed between Suzuki and Toyota in February 2017. Now, in the ongoing Jet Airways saga, there seems to be a cinematic groundswell of support coming in from the employees. Sensing that the options to revive the grounded Jet Airways are fast running out, a group of airline employees has written to SBI seeking permission to allow a consortium of employees and external investors to bid for the company's management control. The employee representatives have said they will secure an investment of up to 3,000 crore rupees from outside investors. The associations are Society for Welfare of Indian Pilots and the Jet Aircraft Maintenance Engineers Welfare Association. All of this, of course, sounds like it could be turned into a film. Now it remains to be seen what Akshay Kumar will do in this film. Sachin Bansal has added more to his cart after leaving Flipkart and has invested 200 million rupees in Milk Basket. Earlier in March 2019, Milk Basket had announced the acquisition of Veggie India for an undisclosed amount. The grocery space has, of course, been heating up in India, with Big Basket joining the Unicorn Club recently and Swiggy having also entered the segment. Bansal, meanwhile, through BACQ, had earlier made an investment in digital lending platform CrazyBee and also a personal investment in Ola Technologies. State Bank of India has moved to invoke Essar Steel promoters' personal guarantees of 15,000 crore rupees. This move is to invoke the personal guarantees of the Ruyas had started about 6 to 8 months ago. A decree from the DRT would lead to the attachment on all personal assets of Ruyas, both in India and abroad. Essar Steel lenders are, of course, led by the State Bank of India and are saddled with dues of over 63,000 crore rupees, including overdue interest and penalties. The SBI will receive only a part of its dues as per ArcelorMittal's IBC resolution plan of only 42,000 crore rupees, which still leaves lenders with balance dues of over 20,000 crore rupees, comprising principal overdue interest as well as penalties. Yes Bank has come out with its first quarter results, and they are not good looking. The shares may tumble as much as 10% tomorrow after the bank reported its first ever quarterly loss for the 3 months ended March. The loss was amplified by provisions against bad loans to ILNFS as well as Jet Airways. Now, the lender's first non-founder chief executive, Ravneet Gill, has begun a cleanup act, and his modus operandi has been to put it all out there because there is no better disinfectant than sunlight. More details about this story later on in the podcast. In the JP insolvency case, lead lender IDBI has sought a deadline extension. Under the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code, a resolution process has to be completed under 180 days, with a further extension of 90 days to make it to 270 days. IDBI's plea was supported by the representative of the home buyers, who have also got the status of financial creditors after amendments in the IBC. In some India Inc. news, Wipro Consumer Care on Monday said it has signed a definitive agreement to acquire Splash Corporation, which is a Philippines-based personal care company, for an undisclosed amount. This is Wipro's 11th acquisition in the consumer line business and 9th acquisition in the personal care segment overall. Meanwhile, InCred has raised 600 crore rupees from FMO and others. The latest funding round will increase the total equity capital of the company to over 1,000 crore rupees. The NBFC plans to use this capital to boost its balance sheet lending. InCred is, of course, the brainchild of former Deutsche Bank senior executive Bhupinder Singh. 69 private equity investments worth $6,198 million were recorded in March, according to a Grant Thornton report. Canada's Brookfield-led India Infrastructure Trust's acquisition of East-West Gas Pipeline for 13,000 crore rupees was the top PE deal, that is private equity deal, of the quarter. In the January to March period, there were 182 PE deals worth $8,451 million, recording a twofold jump in the investment values on account of increased big-ticket deals that saw 11 investments, attracting funds in the range of $100 to $500 million. Spotify has reported a better-than-expected rise in first-quarter revenue on the 29th of April as the music streaming company hit 100 million paid subscribers for its premium service, sending its shares up nearly 5%. The global leader in the sector, with double the number of subscribers of nearest rival Apple Music, Spotify has launched in regions like our own country, Middle East, and North Africa in recent months, seeking to fuel the next stage of its development as it continues to price aggressively in the developed world. Spotify said it had 217 million monthly active users in March, up from 173 million in the same quarter a year earlier. Analysts on average were expecting the company to have 218.6 million subscribers, according to research firm FactSet. Premium or paying subscribers at the end of the quarter were 100 million, up from 75 million a year earlier. Analysts were expecting 99 million, and Spotify did them a million better. Some whopper news coming in. According to the new market research report published by Markets and Markets, the global IoT, that is Internet of Things professional services market, is projected to grow from $79 billion in 2018 to $100 billion more than that at $189.2 billion by 2023, with a CAGR of 19.1% during the forecast period. The major drivers which are leading the growth of the IoT professional services market are, of course, the proliferation of connected devices across the globe and the requirement for highly customized IoT professional services in the industrial and transportation sectors. So anybody wanting to be in the thick of this IoT business, this is your time. In world business news, Anadarko is set to resume talks with Occidental on a buyout bid. Anadarko Petroleum said it would consider Occidental Petroleum's $38 billion bid weeks after the company entered an agreement to be taken over by Chevron for about $33 billion. Boeing apparently did not advise airlines or FAA that it shut off warning system. Boeing didn't tell airlines or federal authorities that it had shut off a safety system on its controversial 737 MAX jets, which warned pilots about malfunctioning sensors. Accident investigators have linked such bad data to the deadly crashes that we saw with Ethiopian Airlines and Lion Air. Tiger Global is looking to invest in 5 software-as-a-service firms in the month of May. Tiger Global's latest fund of $3.75 billion will focus on consumer internet and cloud computing. Globally, the fund has invested in companies like China's Udesk, which is an enterprise platform for intelligent customer service. Tantrum thrower-in-chief, US President Donald Trump has criticized India's big tariffs on American paper products and the iconic Harley-Davidson bikes, claiming his country has been losing billions of dollars to countries like India, China, and Japan. More from that tantrum later on the podcast. In the latest Rasgulla rally that's going on between the Prime Minister and Mamata Banerjee, she has claimed that she would henceforth send him Rasgullas made of mud and garnished with stones. When Modi came out with his own, Didi, 40 of your lawmakers are in touch with me. This is turning out to be uglier than expected. Speaking of, Navjot Singh Sidhu has warned voters that a wrong vote can make their children tea sellers or pakoda sellers or a chowkidar. Pragya Thakur, meanwhile, in an exclusive interview with Money Control, has said that she is the living proof of Congress's anti-women mentality. Avengers Endgame has broken all sorts of records you can possibly imagine. It took in $1.2 billion in its opening weekend, earning $350 million in the US and Canada alone and blowing through the $258 million mark, which was earlier held by Infinity War. Disney shares, as a result, were up 1.7% to $142.25 in pre-market trading on Monday. Among the opening records set in 44 countries, the film took $330.5 million in China alone, Disney said on Sunday. With this kind of turnout and numbers, there is every reason now to believe that Endgame will, of course, challenge The Force Awakens, which had a record of $2.07 billion worldwide gross, and that was in 2015. There are only two other films in Hollywood history which have taken more, inflation-adjusted, Avatar in 2009 and Titanic in 1997. Will Endgame be the end of those records? Only time will tell. Now, let's go through a couple of stories in a little more detail. It has happened again. US President Donald Trump has criticized India's big tariffs on American paper products and the iconic Harley-Davidson bikes, claiming his country has been losing billions of dollars to countries like India, China, and Japan. Speaking at a Republican political rally in Green Bay in the state of Wisconsin on Sunday, Trump said every country has been ripping off America for years. After taking aim at the high tariffs India charges on the import of Harley-Davidson motorbikes, Trump has now targeted India a second time for high import duties on paper and paper products. He said, and I quote, "We charge other countries zero tariffs on foreign paper products. When Wisconsin companies exported abroad, China charged us big tariffs. India charged us big tariffs. Vietnam charged us massive tariffs. Unfair." Unquote. He added that the common people in the United States demanded a government that puts America first. Trump claimed, and I quote, "And we're doing that with China. We're doing that with India. We're doing that with Japan. We're doing it with a great new trade deal that hopefully will get approved in the House." Could he not have just said we're doing that with India, China, and other countries? No. Rhetorical flourishes simply because he's not much else to say. India has more than once countered these allegations by Donald Trump that India is a tariff king, in his own words, claiming that its tariffs are within its commitments under the rules of the World Trade Organization. In fact, according to a report by Mint earlier this month that quoted Commerce Ministry sources, the United States also charges high tariffs on products such as tobacco, peanuts, and footwear. The highest tariffs imposed, 736% by Japan, 807% by South Korea, 350% by the United States, and 163% by Australia, are way higher than that of India, which charges 150%. India imposes high duties on several items like whiskey and wines at 150%, automobiles at 60 to 100%, mango juices at 50%, and marble blocks at 40%. India's average tariff at 13.8% may be higher than that of the US's 3.4%, but it is nearly at par with, let's say, South Korea, which is at 13.7%. Developing countries enjoy longer phase-out periods and higher bound rates of tariffs, a concession they received in return for ceding ground on intellectual property rights and services to the developed countries when WTO rules were formulated. In any case, early in 2019, at a White House event to announce his support for reciprocal tax, Trump had said he was satisfied with India's decision to reduce import tariff on high-end Harley-Davidson motorcycles from 100% to 50%. The Economic Times reported that India is pressing for exemption from the high duty imposed by USA on certain steel and aluminium products, resumption of export benefits to certain domestic products under the GSP program, that is Generalized System of Preferences, greater market access for its products from agriculture, automobile, automobile components, and engineering sectors. Similarly, the United States is demanding greater market access through a cut in import duties for its agriculture products, dairy products, medical devices, as well as IT and communication items. India has stated that it would be difficult to cut duties on IT products. India's exports to the US in 2017-2018 was estimated at $47.9 billion, while imports stood at $26.7 billion. The trade balance is in favor of India. Onto a domestic story now that we've been following for a while. A quick word on the developments at Yes Bank in the last few days. The Economic Times claimed today that shares of Yes Bank may tumble as much as 10% tomorrow after it reported its first ever quarterly loss for the 3 months ended March 2019. The loss was amplified by provisions against bad loans to infrastructure conglomerate ILNFS Group, as well as to the struggling Jet Airways. ILNFS is, of course, in its own mess, dragging Deloitte also along with it, as we spoke about earlier, and Jet Airways has been having its own troubles as well, as we know far too well. Now, the lender's first non-founder chief executive, Ravneet Gill, has begun a cleanup act. The bank reported a loss of 1,507 crore rupees in the March quarter, compared to a profit of 1,180 crore rupees a year earlier. It made total non-tax provisions of 3,662 crore rupees. That is 9 times more than the 400 crore rupees reported a year earlier, and nearly 7 times the 550 crore rupees reported in December 2018. This, even as gross NPAs rose to 3.22% of loans from 2.1% in December. Moreover, the Reserve Bank of India had reportedly found serious lapses in governance and a poor compliance culture at Yes Bank under Rana Kapoor, who, of course, was a co-promoter and chief executive, and the central bank, based on these things, had demanded that Kapoor leave by the end of January due to a regulatory discomfort. Some analysts told Economic Times the 11% fall in the stock over the last 2 weeks indicates that some investors may have got wind results that were to be announced. The stock ended down 0.1% ahead of the result on Friday, which was announced post-market hours. Digant Haria, AVP Research at Antique Stockbroking, told the newspaper, and I quote, "There will be near-term challenges for the stock till it is able to raise fresh capital and resolution is found for the Reliance Group issue," unquote. The rating downgrades of Anil Ambani's companies by various agencies might have also weighed down the stock at Yes Bank, which has exposure to Anil Ambani's companies. In light of these developments, Yes Bank has shifted, according to a Money Control report, to a calibrated growth model with modest growth targets and preemptive provisioning against bad loans. Ravneet Gill, the new MD and CEO of the bank, said that apart from some senior hirings, the bank also plans to increase its headcount by 2,600 in FY20. He said the bank is currently looking to fill a senior position who will drive the retail liabilities growth for the bank. CNBC TV18 reported that Gill is looking to replace the top management of the bank within 2 weeks. Around 14 top executives have been listed by Yes Bank for a likely replacement, the report claimed. We have also spoken about this on a previous podcast. Rajat Monga, Ahuja Anand, several of these are likely to go, several of these who are confidants of Rana Kapoor. And Rana Kapoor's style of cloak and dagger functioning certainly has come under the scanner now, considering the RBI now wants full disclosure and absolute transparency in everything it does. And Ravneet Gill clearly believes putting it all out there is the best way forward. Like someone said, sunlight is the best disinfectant. The new chief also told Money Control that only 30% of Yes Bank's 1,100 branches are profitable, and the company has initiated a branch-wise review that entails detailing key performance indicators and the business to be targeted. The aim is to make 80% of branches profitable by 2023 and achieve 100% profitability by 2025, according to Gill. Well, Yes Bank has certainly seen its challenges, and this has been its first loss-making quarter. Something tells me that the second quarter is not going to be any better, but in a year from now, will the work of Ravneet Gill result in a better state for Yes Bank? That is something to look forward to. Well, there you go. That's pretty much everything that happened in the world today, all in a neat little capsule that you just have to listen to and forget about listening to anything else. This is your one-stop shop for the world. The markets were shut today, of course, because, like I said, Mumbai went to the polls. So we'll be back tomorrow with everything that transpires in the markets and everything that transpires in the rest of the world. Do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.